Hi there, it is great to have you watching in. It's wonderful to be here. We're a small tech difficulty getting started, but we're ready to go. So thank you so much for joining us on what is International Podcast Day. It's been a long time since I've done one of these, but it's really exciting to get started now. The new season's going, and also as I'm now surrounded by boxes, having moved somewhere new this week. But there's lots of new things going on, and I'm really, really excited to talk to two amazing people who've been doing something very new as this new season has begun. So, Julia and Maciek, it is great to have you with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure.
Great to be talking to you.
It's wonderful. So both of you are doing so many wonderful things at the moment, and to save me introducing you partly, but also I think it's amazing to sort of find out from your point of view, who are you both and what do you do in the world? So Julia, who are you and what it is that you do?
Okay, so I'm the executive director of the London Mozart Players, an orchestra that has been around for 71 years. And I'm also the co-principal cellist. So it's a lovely position to be in. I actually get to play in all the concerts too. And just recently, it was lovely to be a cellist in the concert when your other guest played, when Maciek played with us. I could appreciate everything he was doing because he played a piece that I have a real heart for too.
Fantastic. And Maciek, what is it that you do in the world? How would you define yourself?
Musician, hopefully. I play solo chamber music. I teach also at the academy. I'm just trying to be in the music as much as possible. So I think this is how I can describe myself.
Certainly. Well, we've all had a very complex and complicated last 6 months. What is it you've been doing during the last 6 months, and how have you found that period? So Maciek, for yourself, what have you been doing then without live performances for the last 6 months?
For me, it didn't really change so much. I mean, I really tried to just stay in the groove, you know? So I was practicing as much as possible and trying to learn also new repertoire. I had lessons with students online and was reading a lot, actually. I mean, there was so much time, and I just really tried to spend this time as good as possible. So, you know, I listened a lot of music, a lot of new stuff that I didn't know before. Of course it was difficult, but I think it was really for me just a matter of the right attitude. So I really just tried to keep working to wait for what will happen. But of course I was very concerned about the whole situation, in the way I was lucky because I don't live in a big city here in Poland, so you know, it was kind of peaceful for me, and was also trying to stay away a little bit with it, so to not go fully crazy.
Yeah, certainly it's a tricky time for doing that. And did you find that sort of you wouldn't normally be able to listen to so much repertoire, so it gave you a chance to find new music and read things that you haven't
heard? Yeah, that's true. I mean, especially with a composer like Sibelius, for example, you know, that I really didn't know him that well. I mean, of course I've heard some of his pieces, but I never really had time to, you know, properly experience him and to read, but also to listen to all the symphonies. So, I mean, and there was really a few months ago, I mean, during the lockdown, that was really a time for it, and to dive into some things that, you know, that you just need a bit more time. But, I mean, I tried to enjoy it also, you know, it was kind of timeless. It felt a little bit like going back to your childhood, you know, especially that I stayed with my parents and, you know, also I was with my girlfriend all the time, so it was great. And Yeah, so it was not bad. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. And Julia, I know we've been on a previous podcast together, but for those who didn't tune into that one, what happened for the London Mozart Players over the last 6 months, and how has it been for the orchestra?
Well, I think we decided there were two ways we could look at the situation. This was a decision taken very quickly overnight. Either we sort of laid low for the time and waited for this time to pass, or we took the chance to find opportunities, and there are always opportunities in every situation. So from day one of lockdown, we produced At Home with LMP, which was 12 weeks, solid weeks of new content daily. And we did everything from children's programs to pieces explored to putting together performances like The Carnival of the Animals and Peter and the Wolf, and all sorts of really interesting things, and meeting all the artists that we've worked with previously in sort of Sofa Sunday type interviews. And then following that, the moment we knew we could get into a place when things were beginning to open up, we did three live concerts in conjunction with Classic FM. And we were in the Westfield Shopping Centre, followed by St Giles Cripplegate, and then a college in Oxford. And then we decided there were an awful lot of people in our community that mean a lot to the LMP, because we are an orchestra that is based in a community. And all the residential homes and people who are isolated weren't getting the same attention that we would normally give them. We go to do concerts in all these places. So we then launched something called LMP Reach, which was had two fantastic things about it. It gave our musicians work, and it also delivered music to take into residential homes. So these were online concerts, recitals put together of really fun, well-known repertoire, everything from the most popular songs to, you know, I don't know, Thais Meditation, whatever might really appeal to them. And we've been delivering those twice a month to homes and isolated people all over the place. But I think the thing that has taken all of our energy and attention over the last few weeks is that we've actually launched an online series, which is called Classical Club. And it's eight concerts coming from really iconic venues all around London, everything from the Conservatory at Zion Park, to the Clock Tower at St Pancras, to some wonderful concert halls, Freemasons Hall, we were in there last night, and where else? Broad Chelsea Hospital to do Soldier's Tale. And putting that together as taken all of our energy. There's so many things we had to sort of learn that we haven't done before. And I think we made one decision, which I am so happy with, and that is we partnered with YCAT. And that is why Maciek came to play with us. And we're featuring three of their brilliant young superstars. And I think we felt that at this time, young people were really suffering. All these stars would normally have this massive career going on and lots of concerto performances. Everything had stopped. So whatever we could do to help us along, we really wanted to. And it's always been part of the vision of the LMP to offer a platform to young musicians. So our program offers three big orchestral concerts, which is so exciting. Two children's concerts and three chamber music concerts.
It's incredible just how busy you've been. And I remember speaking to you, I think it was after the first concert in Westfield. So just seeing how much you've done since then and continue to is absolutely incredible. What sort of a response have you had for doing so much online?
We've had a fantastic response. And at a time when normally we'd be wondering, how do we keep all our LMP friends on board? Because obviously they are very important to us, and they provide, you know, some sort of financial stability and everything to the organisation. In actual fact, we've been gaining friends all the time, which is amazing. You'd think things would be shutting down, but they're not. And people are just adjusting to a new way of listening to music. And actually, this is another incredible opportunity, if you can see it like this. And when our music is now going to all corners of the earth that we wouldn't have thought it would have reached before. So we're getting a much broader audience, as well as looking at the figures, we've got a much younger audience online, which we struggle to get in a concert hall. So there are lots of positives we need to take forward and away from this situation.
Massively, and it's so good to hear just how much of a success it's been from going from what may have felt like a standing start or being at the beginning of your digital journey to then having to sort of innovate so much and put out so much content. So I think it's amazing. But the reason we're the three of us all talking is partly because of what you mentioned about your new classical club series. And the two of you have collaborated on the first concert in the series, if that's right?
That was right. There's the opening concert that went out last Thursday, and we recorded it the previous week in St. John's Upper Norwood, which is the home of the LMP.
Fantastic. And then Maciek, what were you playing and performing with the Mozart players?
Well, I performed Robert Schumann cello concerto, and we also recorded a beautiful piece written by Antonin Dvořák, Silent Woods, that was also online. So, well, it was a real pleasure, and you know, it's just so great that it actually happened in this strange time. And well, I was very happy to play with London Mozart players, and well, I only hope that we can play again in the future.
Certainly. And what was it that made you choose that repertoire as well? I think the three of us may have to resist the urge to go and talk about the Schumann Cello Concerto too much with three cellists all in the same place at the same time. But what is it that made you really want to go for something like that rather than, say, for example, Dvořák Concerto or Elgar or one of those things?
Well, I think it's a very special concerto. And for me, also, it kind of stayed with me so far during my musical career, and I performed it already quite a few times, you know, Schumann was one of the craziest composers, and he could write really fast. For example, I think there is one letter or he wrote somewhere that I couldn't sleep whole night, and I wrote Finale, you know, of his his fourth symphony. So, you know, in one of his manic depressive states, and you can somehow hear it in the music. I think so. In the first movement, it's kind of everything is unsettled, you know, and you have big contrast, you know, big emotional contrast, and can change very quickly sometimes, you know, after one bar or two bars. So, you know, sometimes the music is kind of you know, almost depressed, but like very introverted, and then suddenly, you know, very open and passionate, and then second movement is one of the most beautiful things ever written for cello, I think.
Totally.
And this beautiful duet with the principal cellist in the middle of the movement is you know, it's just really like a dream. So, and this is for me always, you know, such a special thing to perform. And actually, I think I always play this concerto for the second movement, to be honest.
It's so such a stunning piece.
David, can I tell you why Maciek played the Schumann Cello Concerto?
Certainly can.
Is originally, we were thinking, how many of our orchestra can we get together? How big an orchestra can we play with, knowing that we're all going to have to be socially distanced, having all the wind players 3 meters away from each other and away from the strings? We were spread practically from one end of the church to the other. It was extraordinary. And even when you see it on the film, it won't look quite like that, but it absolutely was. We have this incredible orchestral manager who measures between each of us, and if anybody moves a chair, we're in trouble. So we were first of all thinking, how about a nice Haydn cello concerto? And I went to Sue Hudson at YCAT, who manages all the artists there, and I said, well, we might really like him to play Haydn. And she said, no, Maciek would like to play Schumann. So I said, okay, we'll play Schumann. And actually, it's also good for a chamber orchestra. It works really well with a chamber orchestra. It's so incredibly orchestrated. And he writes, it's so sort of transparent, so the cello can just really shine through. And Maciek really shone through.
Thank you. It really is. And it's... For me, I'm amazed because my relationship with that piece changed over time. So when I first heard it as a younger person, it wasn't that I didn't like it, I just didn't quite click in the same way. But it seems that sort of, as I've got a little bit older, I can kind of understand, as Maciek was saying, sort of this sort of unsettled feeling of the first movement, and it's more
also
powerful,
really tricky
more
to, to play and to perform. I think you you need to find a special way for this concerto.
Oh, so I don't envy you the last movement. But no, it's been
and
wonderful.
We have wonderful dialogue it's with orchestra, especially in the third movement. It's just all these little motifs flowing together, and this is also for me, that's what I love the most, actually, playing with orchestra. That for me it's really like a chamber music. It's not really for me being a soloist, but I enjoy always the pieces that are written. Like Dvořák is also actually for me really like a chamber piece, not so much a solo cello with orchestra.
Very much so. So I know now that London Mozart players are very seasoned at doing concerts without an audience and do them online. For you, Maciek, was this the first concert you've done digitally since lockdown and the first time you've collaborated, or have you been able to do bits and pieces before then?
Well, I played one online concert before for the Violin Channel, and I mean, it was a great opportunity, but I must say that it was really weird for me, because it was kind of first time that I did something like that, and that was really live concert, so it was actually going on in the very moment. So I was basically playing for some people, but at the same time I was playing to an empty room, so that was really stressful for me, but now I'm getting used to it, and there will be more in 2 months in Wigmore Hall. I will also play online recital, so well, I think I will get used to it, but in London it was with public, so that was great.
Fantastic. And it's do you think, Julia, this is going to be something that you're going to have to continue once the COVID pandemic's finished, that you're going to want to continue to keep streaming and publishing your music onto the internet as well as having live audiences, or do you feel that the two are slightly separate?
No, it absolutely, I feel, is the way forward. So actually, with these concerts that we're doing for the Classical Club, we are having live audiences in there, but they are very restricted. So we're having a maximum of about 60 people a time. And actually, we were doing that in order to build the confidence of the audience so that they might feel ready and comfortable to come back to a concert hall en masse when we are allowed to do that. But I now know, having been at an ABO meeting today, that actually all these restrictions are going to carry on for at least 6 months. So the only way to make something viable financially is going to be a very limited audience and then put it online at behind a paywall. But in any case, it is the way we should have been moving. We've just been forced to move much more quickly because of the pandemic. And I think that's what every orchestra in this country is saying. And I think many orchestras abroad were way ahead of us on this. And we've been having to do a bit of catch up.
Very much so. I know you were one of the early adopters of going online, especially with your live stream performances and live concerts in person, but going out digitally. Now that it's been a while since I've spoken to you, what have you learned along this journey? What has changed, and what sorts of lessons can you take going forward to sort of keep going and developing?
I think that initially, with everything went out online, people were so glad to see something. It didn't matter if it was sort of slightly amateurish and, you know, made at home sort of feel. In fact, people almost loved it even more to understand how people could create something like that in their own living room. But as we've moved on, everything has changed now. And what we're looking at is trying to give a real experience to people at home that is different from the concert hall, so that they will feel just as involved with the players. In fact, in some ways, they can be more involved with the players, because you can get wonderful shots where you get up really close in a way you couldn't see from the back row in the Festival Hall or the Queen Elizabeth Hall. So you actually do have lots of, you know, new tools, you know, in your hands that you can use to create a wonderful experience. And so we have interviews between players. Maciek did a lovely interview with Sebastian, the principal cellist. And it's all introduced by either the leader or somebody else, depending that they vary throughout the series. And we show the buildings, because the venues themselves are really interesting. And so somebody sitting in their living room to actually be shown around the conservatory at Zion Park that's a lovely experience and something new you can offer. So we will definitely keep performing in iconic spaces. We will really try and deliver something that engages people in their homes, and will make those people who thought, you know, watching online was not an option, to really draw them in and make them want to be part of this. And also, we've tried to create this feeling of a club. That's why we've called it the Classical Club, so people will feel as though they belong. And I think that whole element is really important, given people are spread across the world watching.
Totally, and I love what you said about it being a different experience and providing something that's very different. I think it's very easy to try and replicate the concert hall, but if you think of it like sport, watching sport online is very different to being there in a stadium. And I think it's the same lessons that we can learn from them and take those forward as to how we try and communicate classical music and showcase it in the digital space, which is fantastic. One thing I was really curious about.
I just wanted to tell you, I just remember going to my first ever cricket match at the Oval, and I'd never seen it live before, and I could never see the ball being hit or where it went. But when I watched it on television, suddenly it became a much faster game and I could really see it a different way. So it is that sort of feeling, you know, you can pinpoint things so much more, you know, when you do it digitally, when you film it.
I couldn't agree more. And but yeah, I'm really fascinated if the two of you could talk about how it was to perform actually together. So one, you're socially distanced. So how is it as an ensemble as a soloist having to perform with musicians at distance? But also, do you do anything different to sort of take into consideration it's being filmed and recorded and going online? How is that for you both? Maciek, do you have any thoughts, or how has it affected you? Or is it just the same as normal?
I mean, to be honest, it's pretty much the same. You know, I mean, music stays the same, and my attitude didn't change. So, and you know, I am always happy to play, even if it's one person. You know, it really doesn't matter. And I mean, it was a bit difficult because we're you know, in this distance, and so with the winds, for example, and especially that it was in the church. I mean, so it was a bit difficult, but at the same time, I think it worked really, really great. And I mean, for me, it's really not that different. So.
Fantastic. And Julia, for yourself, as an accompaniment in the orchestra, how did it feel to have to do your job at distance? Was that anything different for you?
Actually, it's surprising how quickly you can adjust to having to sit at that distance. Now, I can say that because I sit on the front desk of the cellist. What it felt like for the horn player, who's literally sitting on the steps at the top of the altar, he did this most incredible job. It was Peter Franklin. This incredible job. I don't know how he did it. But we didn't have a conductor, so this was directed from the first violin. And so it meant that everybody had to just have the confidence and initiative to just play and listen as much as you can. But Ruth Rogers was director that day, and she did an absolute great job of conveying what was going on at the front with Maciek. But no, it felt like a really wonderful experience, and Maciek was very, very clear and responded so well with the players. It was a really thrilling experience.
That's so good to hear, because I know that one of the sort of the main concerns I heard early on was people being fearful as to, or hesitant as to, what it would be like to try and perform as a spread out ensemble and how you can communicate across an orchestra. But I think it's really reassuring to hear just how fast you managed to adapt to doing that, which is amazing. One thing you mentioned, Julia, is that this part of this series is that you're collaborating with YCAT, who are Young Classical Music Trust. Maciek, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about what Young Classical Artists Trust is and how they support you and what that relationship is.
Well, so YCAT is basically like an agency for young musicians, and they support young musicians. They create wonderful opportunities for us. I am with them one year, so the finals were last year in May in Wigmore Hall. There were 7 finalists, and it was kind of unexpected because they took everyone, so that was really great. But I think it was also due to a variety of musicians. So we had one singer, violin player, pianist, oboe player, horn player, accordionist, so it was huge variety. And well, so far it's great, and I'm so happy that I could play with London Mozart players, and I play some nice concerts mostly in London, but I will have in the future also some nice digital recordings, which I think is the way now in this strange times, you know, to kind of access the people. So yeah, it's really great.
Fantastic. And Giulio, I know you said you were very deliberate in choosing YCAT as a partner throughout this whole classical music, classical club project. What were the main reasons that attracted you to working with YCAT?
We've worked with them for years, and we've only ever had the most incredible musicians from them. So it was just like the obvious partnership to have for this. And we've just been absolutely thrilled. And we do play with these musicians often. We won't just do one concert with them. So we're really looking forward to being able to invite Maciek back again to do something with us when times are a little bit easier. But actually, interestingly enough, for our whole season of concerts that will go ahead this year in one way or another, I was thinking about them. All our promoted concerts have really young artists in them, which is lovely. And actually, this is such a good way to draw younger audience in, to see these incredible young people. They're such role models and a real inspiration. You know, we've got concerts coming up with Sheku and with his sister as well, with Isatar as well, and a very young violinist called Leia Zhu, who's only 14, and she's performing with us. So I think it's a brilliant thing to do in this environment to encourage young people to be inspired to play.
Incredible. And am I right in thinking that the Classical Club is not just only going out on your website, you have a partnership with Scala as well, if that's right?
We have got a wonderful partnership with Scala, and they've been unbelievably supportive. So they do live reads every week. We produce the material that is just for Scala. So the Dvorak Silent Woods that Maciek was telling me we recorded, that was just for Scala viewers. And they're interviewing all of the young soloists online, and they have a lovely web page. Everything's loaded up there for us. So we're getting the most fantastic support. And without that support, in this environment, I think it would be really difficult to market what we're doing.
I totally agree. And how is it working with broadcast companies? That's been quite different from what you had to do, say, 12 months ago before all this has happened. Is it quite a new thing for you?
Yes, we have actually for a number of years worked with Classic FM in various ways. They put out quite a few of our concerts on Facebook, and we've obviously done lots of things with Radio 3 in the past. But yes, no, it's a whole different ball game. You're absolutely right. And trying to work out a partnership which gives them something they really want and really does what you need to promote something, it is a real careful balance that has to be found, but hopefully we've done just that with this partnership, and they've been wonderful.
No, I think it's really fascinating to see, and also that it's all this content supports each other, so that the Silent Woods leads into your Classical Club, the Classical Club leads into the interviews and various things that you do as part of Scala Radio, and it's this whole, it's not independent pieces of content that all sits apart from each other, they all mix and become this one sharing of content, which I think is a really fascinating way of doing it all, especially as trying to reimagine what classical music could be in the 21st century.
Yeah, another thing we've done that we learned actually when you were asking me earlier, I realised now I should have said, from at our series At Home with LMP, so many musicians were showing sides of them we'd never seen before, such incredible talents. And so we've actually tried to include those within this Classical Club series. So our concert at St John's Smith Square on the 4th of November, when we do the Beethoven violin concerto, another member of our violin section will take charge there, and she will be doing interviews and doing all the program notes and things for that concert, because she did such a fantastic job in our first series. So, you know, we're trying to encourage all the musicians to take a really big part in what we do, because they are a very talented bunch.
Very much so. One thing I was wanting to ask you before we go actually is that sort of what the future of classical music is going to be. And then there's a whole thing about what is the value of digital arts and how we make what we do online profitable. I was wondering what your thoughts are about various financial models going forward, and I know that you put Classical Music Club behind a paywall. What are your thoughts about how we're going to be able to monetize what we do in the digital space going forwards?
We have to have our series behind a paywall. We're an unfunded orchestra, and there is no other way it can work. So you have to make people expect that if they want something that is really special, they are going to have to pay for it. There's no doubt about that. I was actually on a Zoom meeting with some venues, people who run venues and promoters of concerts. And it's very interesting what they said, because they said going forward, they're going to expect people to be willing to take a risk. So none of this sort of guaranteeing to pay your fee to do a concert, but if you want a concert, it might be something you have to agree to and take a risk yourself as well. So I think we will be moving into a new model. I think from what they were saying, there obviously are going to be fewer concerts going forward, without a doubt. And they are going to look for groups who have a real identity, who really program imaginatively. So I think that it's making us all really pull up our socks and think, what can we offer that is going to be really exciting and different and has an ability to go online as well as have with a live audience?
I think that's really interesting. My follow-up question you led wonderfully into, and it is now that we have this opportunity and chance to consume music across the globe, whether it's yourselves on Medici TV or the Berlin Phil's Digital Concert Hall or all the other orchestras who are having to innovate in the same way. How is it that you set yourself apart from that? And you mentioned about basically trying to justify and connect and show something really special and pull your socks up. What ways do you think organisations like yourself can do that to really set yourself apart from the crowd?
I think you have to have a very clear vision of what you want to do as a group in the first place. You have to know what your mission and vision is. And we are a self-directed orchestra. That's incredibly important to us. Having said that, we are working with a conductor on Saturday, but that's very, very lovely too. But we want to encourage the whole orchestra to be part of this journey, and they are very much so, and to be able to express themselves through what we do. So yes, I think it's really having a very clear identity and vision, and having that positive outlook that can look for those opportunities to be able to, you know, really find those creative things to do. And I actually find that a really exciting prospect, rather than thinking, oh no, we can't manage this, we can't manage that. Actually, can I just tell you before we finish, because I'm certainly so excited about this, we're about to do 6 concerts for the Grainshot Music Society to a live audience. And this is an incredible pair of people, Peter and Vivian Harrison, who run this concert series. And they're keeping to all the guidelines. They've convinced all their audience they're all going to be fine. They're only obviously having a restricted audience, but doing the same concert 2 nights running. And they're giving the LMP 6 dates between halfway through October and the end of November. Isn't that absolutely amazing that they are prepared to do that? And it'd be wonderful if more people would be really creative and think, I'm not going to be put down by what's going on. I'm going to make these things happen.
Certainly, it's incredible. And for yourself, Maciek, going forwards into the future, how do you see this period having a sort of change what you do, and how is life going to be different for you online and in person in the future?
Well, I will disappoint you because, for me, it didn't change so much, you know, because I always try to be very much focused on what I'm doing. I try to be in the music also every day, and of course it's great that we can play online and to reach people online, but I think still live concerts, it's just the best thing. That's why I am a musician. There's nothing like it, and it's just because of the energy, you know, that you get from the people. and it's something that you cannot get in internet. And well, of course, it was difficult, and I didn't play so much like I could play, but at the same time I was pretty lucky because I played actually a few concerts recently, and they did actual concerts, so I think I was really lucky. I just had a little tour in Germany. I played in Stuttgart two recitals with wonderful pianist Nicolas Riemer. Then I played in Frankfurt, the trio. So, I mean, it, you know, somehow it's going forward.
No, I don't think that's disappointing at all, though. I think it's really nice at a time when there's so much turmoil and chaos to have consistency going through and hearing stories.
Yeah, I just think that we have to do everything just to go through this period, you know, and just we cannot worry too much about the future. I mean, just try to solve it, and I think it's great that we have this opportunities to play now online. And for me it's also wonderful because I will have a lot of great material, you know, and especially nowadays that, you know, so many things happen online, and people spend so much time on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, and I mean, in the way it's a really good way to reach people, you know, and for sure it will create in the future nice possibilities for me to play concerts, because I mean that's, you know, that's why I'm a musician. I want to play live concerts. I mean, that's the best.
Exactly. Agree more.
You said something so important there that I've got to come in and say something else, and that is the one thing we'll take away from this time is we've missed the audiences so much. They are so crucial to our performances. So, you know, no matter what we do online, and you know, obviously we throw our hearts and souls in it, the audience is part of our performance. So we too can't wait for those, you know, concerts to get back to some sort of normality. But you should hear how 60 people can clap. It's unbelievable the noise they can make because they've been deprived for so long.
Incredible. It's, I think, yeah, it's the thing we're all desperate to get back to, which is wonderful. So for anyone, speaking of audiences, who is wanting to come and hear what you've been doing and how you perform together, where can they find Classical Club and hear you both together?
So it's very easy. Just go to our website, just www.londonmozartplayers.com, and the first thing that will come up will be most probably a picture of Maciek and the Classical Club. So it's very, very easy to find. And we actually have a whole team of people working so that if anybody has any problems with you know, actually logging on to things, and people do. Some people, computers aren't, you know, their natural go-to thing. We have a team of people who will just help them over the phone, get them all signed up, and then they can watch the concerts from now until begin December as many times as they want, and they could hear Maciek playing that beautiful slow movement of the Schumann over and over because it's worth it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for being here and for telling us why we can hear this wonderful music.
Thank you.
And thank you so much again if you've been watching live, it's wonderful, and also if you're listening back, thank you again for joining us. If you want to listen to any of the other podcasts, they're available on david-taylor.org. And as always, there'll be updates as to the next episode coming up on social media. So thank you both again, Julie and Maciek, for being with us.
Likewise.
And I'm going to go tune into the Schumann this weekend and catch up as well, which I'm looking forward to. So thank you much, and see you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.